The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, December 17, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Mark Blasdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack is the pick for USDA Secretary, and the value of Iowa farmland is up. We'll have these and other stories. And Todd Gleason will report on an elusive subject, scientifically quantifying biotechnology. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, March wheat, 578 and a quarter, up 13 and a quarter. May, 589 and three quarters, up 13 and three quarters. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat, 557 and a half, up 13 and a half. May, 570 and a quarter, up 13 and a quarter. July, 582 and a half, up 13. September, 604 and a half, up 13 and a half. March corn, 389.5, down 4.5. May, $4.5, down 4.75. July, 411, down 5.25. September, 421.5, down 5.5. December, 435.25, down 6.25. March of 2010, 447.25, down 5.5. January beans, 864, up 5.5. March, 869, up 6. May, 880.5, up 6. July, 891.5, up 6.5. August, 895, up 7.5. September, 896, up 8. Take it out to November, 896, up 10 on the settlement. January soybean meal, 263.20, up 220. March, 263.10, up 220. January soybean oil, 31, down 35. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago. Taking a look at outside markets, January crude oil at 42 even is down 160. February 45.95 down 75. Make that January ethanol at 159.2, up 5 tenths for the settlement there. February 160 up 1 cent. January natural gas at 562.5, it's down 12.6. February 567.4, down 10.7. The January RBOB at 102.10 is down 19. The February 106.17 is down 18. Looking at some metal contracts, the January silver contract at 11.39 is up 71.5 cents. The gold contract from February, the settlement there, 868.50, and it was up $25.50 on the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 88.94, down 29. The NASDAQ 1587 is down just a couple ticks over 2. The S&P 500 at 911 is down 199. Ed Kieser tells us a winter storm watch has been issued for McLean County from 3 p.m. Thursday through 6 a.m. on Friday, and for Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties from 3 p.m. Thursday through 12 noon on Friday. Otherwise, tonight mostly cloudy with lows ranging from 4 in far northwestern Illinois to 28 degrees in the far south. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Couple of different markets. The wheat showing good strength, soybeans not too bad. The corn down just a little bit today.
Yeah, one thing that we were waiting on, of course, we saw yesterday the Fed come in and announce the discount rate cut, and they said it was the discount rate cut that had the biggest influence of any we've had up until now. The general opinion is that the Fed rolled up their sleeve, and Mr. Bernanke is basically sending a signal to the world in the U.S. financial markets that he means business, and he does have more tricks up his sleeve to get this U.S. and world economy rolling. You know, we are the biggest economy, and as a result of that, you know, anything that's done in the U.S. does have an enormous effect on everybody's life. The dollar, of course, is weaker, and this also shows signs that we are starting to trade. We're starting to signs that the market is coming back, and that was, you know, some enormous benefits to our commodities. The corn market still closed above the 40-day moving average. The wheat closed above the 40-day moving average. We still have some room on the beans. But, you know, the forecast at the noon hour was somewhat drier, you know, as far as Argentina is concerned. So the market had a lot of profit-taking. The big disappointment, of course, today was the energy market closing down $3 at the present time.
And as we look at that U.S. dollar, boy, has it taken a tumble in just seven or eight sessions. It's now has made a low today of 78.52, and one begins to wonder, with all the money that's getting printed, what might the dollar look like in a couple of months?
Yeah, it means that it is encouraging people to go out and get loans, buy things from the U.S., encourage business, and it will have an impact on trade. The weaker dollar also signals that people in the world are starting to do things instead of hoard money towards the U.S. The stock market is showing some tremendous strength. We're also looking at the new president, when he comes in, to be very aggressive on stimulus packages. We have a new Secretary of Agriculture, which, you know, he's been enormously supportive to the renewable energy, the ethanol industry in Iowa, and as a result of that, that should augur well for corn. And we're starting to see, when the computer averages turn bullish, we saw very little resistance to selling. We're still very cheap in the scheme of things.
Do you think then that when we have our conversations, when our meetings begin to start up for WILO outlooks come late January and early February, we'll be looking at corn prices above 550 on the board?
No, I don't think so. But I think the job of the new Secretary of Agriculture is enormous. I think one of the first things, if I was the new secretary, I'd either travel to Decatur, White Plains, New York, or Minneapolis, Minnesota, and talk to the big three grain companies, find out how what they can do government-wise to jumpstart prices, get the farmer feeling better, and bring economic stimulus back to the farms. Let's face it, the farmer has been an enormously good economic tool for energy. It's also been a very productive source in exports, and we don't want to leave that enormous resource on the table, so to speak. The other factor, of course, is hopefully the new administration, but with the cabinet choices and the political appointees, renewable energy is there, and hopefully we'll get the energy blends from 10 to possibly 15 or higher percent. We hope the loans to the new car, the car industry, will also encourage renewable automobiles that run on renewable energy, and that's also positive to the corn market. So the Secretary of Agriculture does have to be alert. He has a lot of things on the table, and hopefully I'm sure the big grain companies will all agree that ethanol is one way to get at least the second base or third base in this slowdown.
Well, if all that were to happen, I can't imagine why we wouldn't see 550 grain prices.
Well, you know, we do have a lot of corn, and we are a big country, and there has been a big increase in feed grain supply in the world. I think one of the things that we hope happens is exports will improve in time. Feed usage will also improve, but all this takes time. The one that's going to bring us to the picnic table the quickest is renewable energy, both biodiesel and also the ethanol.
Yeah, I got to get that grind going in the right direction instead of going to the negative by 300 million bushels this last month. Got to get it back up over four.
That's right. And a couple of things. We know there's several ethanol companies in trouble. They can do a lot of things to get those plants going again, and hopefully with just profitability and getting the blenders to blend the fuel, it will come around very quickly.
Well, you got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them. What are you telling producers about new sales?
We hear the word $4 on cash corn is a somewhat of an attainable situation because we hear that bid in some markets, maybe the processor or the terminal. And as that's an area that we're going to see some cash corn move in the marketplace. With the word inflation, I think a person does have to be very careful about being too bearish. And one area that we are seeing big carries in the marketplace is crude oil. You know, February is $4 to $5 a barrel higher than the nearby contract. The next month is the same way, $2 to $3 higher. So we know energy is going to be more expensive as we get into the summer time frame. And the same thing will apply as we see a pickup in the economy in the U.S. and the world, that we will start to see whiff of better times. And I think that has to be one of the factors why we'll continue to see farmers as fairly strong holders into the summer time frame.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a profitable day, and always nice talking to you, Dave.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, President-elect Barack Obama is naming former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack as Agriculture Secretary.
It is time for a new kind of leadership in Washington that's committed to using our lands in a responsible way to benefit all of our families. It means ensuring that we are using our farmlands not only to strengthen our agricultural economy, but to grow advanced biofuels that will help make the United States energy independent. And it means ensuring that the policies being shaped at the Departments of Agriculture and Interior are designed to serve not big agribusiness or Washington influence peddlers, but family farmers and the American people. As our next Secretary of Agriculture, Tom will not only help ensure that rural America has a true partner in implementing the Farm Bill and pursuing agricultural research, but that Washington is looking out for everyone, from the small family farms that are feeding our communities to the large farms that are feeding the world.
Vilsack is the fourth former opponent of Obama in the 2008 Democratic primaries to join his new administration. First elected governor in 1998, Vilsack, 58 years old, carved out a reputation as a political centralist. He balanced Iowa's budget and resisted raising taxes, but he was willing to spend money on such priorities as education and health. He argued that pushing alternative energy sources is key to bolstering rural sections of the nation that are struggling economically and with vanishing populations. The White House Office of Management and Budget says if the federal government were to follow the accrual method of accounting that is standard for most businesses, the country's deficit in the year ending September 30th would total more than $1 trillion. This amount is more than twice the $454.8 billion deficit that is determined through the cash accounting method preferred by Congress. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says that the House will begin work on economic stimulus legislation shortly after members of the 111th Congress take their seats in early January. She anticipates the cost of the measure to be in the range of $600 billion. The goal, says Pelosi, is to complete work on the package and to forward it to Barack Obama for a signature shortly after he is sworn in as president on January 20th. Discussions regarding the contents of the measure focus on additional spending for infrastructure construction, maintenance and repair, and for additional funding for states. Key USDA officials are saying that they have told President-elect Barack Obama's transition team, as well as anyone else who will listen, that it's just a matter of time before the Farm Service Agency's old computer servers crash and put at risk USDA's services for up to 2 million farmers. The Government Accountability Office reported last May that the department has, quote, experienced significant problems with its information technology systems that delivers services to farmers. The GAO stated that the Farm Service Agency servers purchased in 1983 do not meet modern standards for internal controls and security. Iowa State University says that the statewide average price of Iowa farmland comes out to $4,468 an acre, up for the ninth year in a row. The increase is 14.3% above the last year's survey, which showed a 22% increase seen over the 2006 results. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Anecdotally, biotechnology is a winner. Farmers say it has led to higher corn and soybean yields. But scientifically proving that point has been elusive. Todd Gleason has more.
Agricultural economists at the University of Illinois took the yield and weather numbers from the three I states into their databases. They shook them up and tried to separate the yield boost attributable to weather and that which may have come from biotechnology. The answers from Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa were not what you might expect, says lead researcher Scott Irwin.
What we found was very interesting on corn, that over the last decade, when many observers have credited biotechnology advances with an upward movement in the trend in corn yields, we actually find that better than average weather is the explanation, not better technology.
That is what he said. Better than average weather is responsible for the upward movement in the corn yield trend, not biotechnology. Well, Irwin cautions that the data used covers a long sweep of history, beginning in 1960 and ending in 2007. It may not yet reflect the impact of triple-stack corn varieties introduced last year.
We want to be very careful what the message is out of our research. Basically, we believe our research shows that the yield data to date does not show a substantial impact of these kind of technology-driven increases in corn yields, that we are increasing yields, but at about the same pace as we have in the past. That's what the data through 2007 show on a state level. There is other kinds of evidence from field trials and experiments that indicates that it's possible as we move forward that these, in particular, things like triple stack hybrids on corn might result in a substantial increase in the rate of growth in trend yields. What we're saying is it just hasn't shown up yet in the aggregate data.
What the data does say, thinks Scott Irwin, is that the agricultural community must be careful going forward of not pinning too much hope on the continued strength of biotech corn hybrids in the event of a catastrophic regional weather event, a drought across the entire Midwest. Irwin says, as it happens, the research was done to begin with to better understand the interaction of technology and weather on corn yields in the state of Illinois. The data just happened to hold a unique story as related to the nationwide trend yields. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons in Delphi is away from his phone. However, Brian Stark of the Andersons here in Champaign is available. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, it looks to me like producers are maybe looking to let go of a little bit of grain as prices are rallying on the board. Are you seeing any new sales?
Yeah, I think the producer this week has rewarded the market's rally. I think up until today, put on about 75, 80 cents since we printed a low on the 11th of December. So I think they're rewarding the market a little bit. But for the most part, their cash flow needs are covered till the end of the year. I think we'll see some more selling come in January, but they've done a good job of rewarding the market for what it's given him over the last week.
And looks like the basis continues to be pretty firm?
It is firm because of farmer, the lack of selling in general, but I think once those magical numbers are hit, some say $4 cash corn would generate additional movement. I think if that ever transpires here as we approach the first year after, shortly after, I think that could show some pressure to the basis here eventually.
Have you done any 09 bookings yet?
Very little. I think when the market was, somewhat firm back early in July, there was a little bit done then. We've done a little bit as we've moved through the fall harvest. But for the most part, people are kind of waiting to see because input costs, while they're starting to come down, haven't quite got down to levels producers feel comfortable at knowing what a profitable level is yet. I think we'll get a better feel when we get into February and we start determining our guarantee price from crop insurance. And most producers are willing to wait till at least then to kind of get a ballpark of what their protection is going to be.
Can you make a case for an idea that corn demand will pick up?
Well, I think the case is the fact of why we've rallied so much in the last week, the dollars decline. And I think that's where it starts. Obviously, with OPEC's decision to cut 4.2 million barrels a day of production, it didn't have the positive impact on oil we wanted today. So ethanol is going to struggle, but exports could become more competitive with a weaker dollar.
Very quickly, your prices.
This evening, 374 cash corn, 849 cash soybeans.
Thank you much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Stark of the Andersons. He is in Champaign, Illinois. It's National Maple Syrup Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1843, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol was published. In 1857, Sir Francis Beaufort died. He invented the wind-force scale. Officially adopted by the British Admiralty in 1838, it used numbers 0 to 12 to designate calm, light air, light breeze, gentle breeze, moderate breeze, fresh breeze, strong breeze, moderate gale, fresh gale, strong gale, whole gale, storm, and hurricane. In 1870, Bert Benjamin was born. An American inventor, He is responsible for the Farmall tractor and the power takeoff system on agricultural tractors. The Farmall was the first tractor that could plow and cultivate row crops. Benjamin, a graduate from Iowa State College, held 140 patents, ranging from a corn picker to a corn shredder to a corn binder. He spent nearly 40 years with the International Harvester Company. In 1892, George Brayton died. An American engineer, he invented the first commercial gas internal combustion engine. In 1903, powered human flight was achieved by the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And in 1940, corn silk was recorded by Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Argentina certainly could use some rain. Are they going to see much in the next 10 days or so?
Well, I guess we have to qualify what much is. I don't think they're going to get a lot. They are going to have fairly decent coverage of showers between now and 10 days from now. But the quantity of rain that comes from those showers will be a pretty big disappointment for many producers down there who really need a good drink of water. There's I'd say probably about two-thirds of the crop region down there that's really pretty darn dry, and we're going to be very warm to hot from now into Saturday in Argentina, with temperatures getting into the upper 80s and 90s on a daily basis, with a few extremes over 100, and the precipitation that occurs between now and Saturday will be pretty erratic and light. But Saturday afternoon on into Monday of next week, there's a slow-moving cool front that will drift across Argentina, and it will work real hard at trying to generate about 70% coverage there, and rain amounts will run a tenth to maybe three-quarters of an inch. Well, whoop-de-doo, I guess, huh? That's not a lot of rain. They need a lot more than that in order to fix the long-term moisture situation, but any moisture is going to be better than none at all, and so there will be at least a temporary reprieve from the heat and dryness that will be building up over the next few days.
Meanwhile, rain continues to miss southern Brazil.
Mato Grosso do Sul actually has had some fairly decent rain in the last week. It's the only place in southern Brazil that has. It varies from Paraná and portions of Paraguay southward into Rio Grande do Sul have definitely not seen much rain. And a predicted rain event that should be underway right now has been just totally dissipated. And we are not going to see much rain. So now we're mostly dry in these southern areas of Brazil for the next several days. The best opportunity for rain will be about a week from now when we'll start seeing some showers and thunderstorms coming back into that region. So very similar to Argentina, southern Brazil is going to be limping along here with a shortage of moisture, but not absolute dryness to the point of just pushing them over the edge and having a disaster on their hands.
Turn your attention closer to home, where a significant storm is on the way for the lower Midwest?
Well, yeah, it looks like our first big ice storm of the season for some areas and some heavy snow in others. This storm will have its roots out there in the southern plains, probably somewhere over southern Kansas or Oklahoma. It will move in an east-northeastward direction and for tonight and tomorrow and ending on Saturday, where the storm will leave quite a stripe of precipitation from the central plains into the heart of the Midwest, with heavy snow across the northern parts of the region and a good winter mix that won't be so good at all. There'll be some pretty significant ice accumulations in some areas from parts of northern Missouri and southernmost parts of Iowa eastward into Ohio and parts of Michigan.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to willag.org. This is Dave Dickey.